It's always fun to make sure I have this on. There we go. It's always fun to have family in town. I enjoy when our families from both sides of the country come and join us, and it's been an extra special day with little Riley Sue. It was fun listening to her. As my dad pointed out, she's pretty old to be dedicated when she's pointing out herself in the pictures and saying her name. But we've been on an interesting journey since we've been here in Colorado. When Riley was born, we'd only lived in Colorado for about 4 months, and I was traveling all over the conference. We weren't really in a church consistently, and so then we came here to Franktown, and then it was getting all of our family from all over. We're really spread out. My brother and sister-in-law are from as far north in Washington as you can get, right on the border of Canada. My in-laws are from Nashville, and my parents are from San Diego. So everybody's all over the place, and so we've been working on getting a date where everybody could be here together, and so it's a fun Sabbath for our family. When I was younger, I used to work on a ropes course at a summer camp. And one of the things that we did on this ropes course, one of the challenges that we did, is we had an exercise called the teeter-totter. And with this teeter-totter, we had about a 4x4 piece of wood, and it went right in the middle of this wooden platform that we built. And what we would do with the kids and the different groups that would come along is that we would have a whole group of maybe 10 or 12 people. And we would tell them, okay, everybody get on the teeter-totter. Okay, everybody got on the teeter-totter, and it was boonk on one side, right? Wasn't even. So what I would say to them as a facilitator, I would say, okay, you guys have 3 minutes. You need to get this teeter-totter balanced with all of you on it so that neither side is touching the ground. Now, it's interesting to watch how different age groups work. Most people would say that adults, they could work this out a lot easier, and the kids would have a harder time because they're all around. But it was very interesting to see, because some of the adults had problems working with this too. Some of the kids had problems. Some kids would just totally surprise you, and they would facilitate the whole group. And it would take a little while because you've got a very small area where you've got 12 people or so. And so you've got to balance it, and it's very touchy because it's so unstable. And so I did this hundreds of times with bunches of different groups, and it wasn't until the whole group got together on the same page that they were able to balance this out. If there were a couple people that were kind of doing their own thing, weren't paying attention to the rest of the group, inevitably it took them so much longer, and it was impossible to do until that group was all on the same page together as sort of a little family unit. Once they did that, they were listening, they were sharing. Some were opening their mouths, some were closing their mouths. And they were learning what their role was in that church and were bringing different pieces to the puzzle until at some point, this group, they would be almost there, and then it would be a little more, and one person would take just a half, okay, we're right there, and then it would just tip, and both sides would be on top of the ground, and you could see the smiles on everybody's face in the group because they had all worked together to make it happen. Working together is a key for a lot of things. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about the disciples. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. This is a fairly famous chapter in Bible study. Acts chapter 2. And if you look at the sermon title today, more than likely you've probably heard the joke, what kind of a car did the disciples drive? Ha 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 ha. They drove an Accord, because they were all in one accord. That joke's about as old as the hills. And this is what the Bible says here. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. What does accord mean? If you look up the definition of accord, it means it's everyone's in harmony. Everyone's in harmony together. They're not all saying the same exact thing. They're bringing different pieces of the puzzle together to move forward, and they're all singing the same song, right? How many of you have ever heard someone who sings terribly? Anybody? Ever heard somebody who's attempting harmony and failing? It's rough, isn't it? Because everyone's like, "Do we don't want to say anything, but wow, that's just murder on my ears. It sounds terrible." But when you get harmony and you have different people bringing things in together that mesh, it becomes something very, very beautiful. Now, to illustrate harmony, I'm going to go here and have just a quick minute and a half little illustration of what harmony, beautiful harmony, sounds like. I'm a big fan of the Gaither Vocal Band. And they filmed the national anthem one time, and it was someone was there with just a small little camera. You can see the green screen behind them, and it is one of the best bits of harmony that I've ever been able to hear. But as we're thinking about harmony within the Bible, this illustrates how we as a church bring different parts of the puzzle in together, and when we all come together, something beautiful happens. Let's listen to this, the Gaither Vocal Band.
Three, one. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the
some harmony right there, huh, folks? When I listen to that, I just get goosebumps because you can hear them shifting harmonies all over this song. And just beautiful harmonies. You've got the really low part coming in. Bill Gaither sings that low part. If you've ever seen him in concert, he's got the earpiece in his ear, and he'll go like this. When he's about ready to hit a really low note, he goes, and he holds his ear like that, and that's the high sign for the guy in the back with the sound to crank it up in his monitor. You see him do this all the time. He goes really low. Then you've got Michael Phelps, the guy with the really curly blonde hair. That guy goes really, really, really high. And you've got a couple other people that are somewhere. Mark Lowry's in there somewhere in the middle too. And you've just got all these beautiful pieces that are all on the same page singing the same song. And the result is absolutely beautiful. And when I look at this word accord, that means harmony. Everybody's in harmony in Acts chapter 2. When these people come together, they're all on the same wavelength with the same idea, with the same goals, and the same Savior. It all complements each other. And I have to take a moment right now to compliment this church, because this church has had some difficult decisions to make in the last month or so. We've had some difficulties financially with our school. And as all of you know that have read the bulletin and maybe come to our church and business meeting, we had some seemingly insurmountable decisions to make. And yet through all of that, myself at all these meetings, I got to watch this, that our church family and the leaders of this church, wrestling with tough decisions, were all in one accord. They had the same goals. They had the same ideas. They had the same reality. And even in tough times, this church's leadership came together in one accord. As things changed, as some of these components of ministry here there were ideas that were coming around. Different church members with different gifts and talents and leadership skills came together with one goal in mind. And when we came to the meeting, it was evident that people had come together. They were in one accord. They were harmonious in their vision for what it was going to be for our school. And as I was reflecting on that this week and last week and over the last couple of weeks, I thought to myself, you know, this is a special church. Because when the times are tough and when the times are good, This church sticks together and has one goal in mind. It's very rare that you're at meetings where tough decisions are made, where there are unanimous votes. Very rare. And as the whole group of leaderships, our church and business meetings and things, it was just fascinating to see the whole church come together with one goal in mind, some differences in ideas, but the goal and everything was the same. And I believe that if this church keeps that up, that attitude up, and that mode of leadership, that not only with our school good things happen, but with our church as well, and the ministry that goes on here, right here in Franktown. What happened in Acts, they were in one accord. They brought their talents and their attitudes into harmony with the vision of Jesus. And when they did that, verse 2, it said, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire. One sat upon each of them, and they were filled with what? The Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Divided tongues of fire. Reach way back a couple months to our sermon on forgiveness. You remember that sermon where we talked about what fire represents in Scripture? Fire represents the presence of God. And when that group was together in their goals for reaching people for Jesus, then they put personal difficulties aside and said, "That stuff doesn't matter anymore. What matters is our mission for Jesus." God's presence was visibly seen with that group. Let's turn over and see what happens with one of those people in the group. Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 34. We're going to look at a guy named Peter, one of the more flamboyant characters in Scripture. Verse 34, and we're going to go ahead and read through this. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which is proclaimed throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they killed hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not only to the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be a judge of the living and the dead. To him all of the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins." Who is Peter preaching to here? If you go back a little bit, he is going to preach to Cornelius. This comes just after the time Peter has this dream. Remember the dream we talked about when we were discussing diet a few weeks ago? Peter's dream when God sends down the sheet, and there's all kinds of creepy crawlies in there, and God says, "Peter, go ahead and eat it." Peter says, "I can't eat that. I've never eaten anything unclean, God." He says, "Go ahead and eat it. Go ahead and eat it." And he says, "No." And Peter very clearly, in the back in verse 28, he's talking with Cornelius, and he says, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or to go to another one, to the other nation. But God has shown me that I should call no man common or unclean." He's just gotten done hanging out with Cornelius, and he's in Cornelius' household when Peter begins to preach. And in the beginning it says, Peter opened his mouth. Now a lot of people will say that, well, the best thing you can do when you witness is just be there and be good. And that's a good thing, and be a good shining example for people that just see you. Some people say, you don't ever need to open your mouth to be a witness for Jesus. I agree that it's a very good thing to live that Christian life. But here, Peter opened his mouth, and he explained some of these things. He preached to him. He says, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." This was a radical message for Peter to preach, because like he just said, it wasn't okay for him to even be in somebody's house if they weren't Jewish. Everybody would have been like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't you know, Peter? that's not okay. You're going to be unclean spiritually. You can't go in somebody else's house. And so the fact that he's there, the fact that he's sharing this radical message, there's all kinds of new stuff that Peter is sharing with these people. He goes through and he shares about Jesus. Not everybody knew about Jesus then. They might have heard a story here or there, but they may not have realized that it was because of him that they didn't have to kill sheep anymore. Or they didn't have to do all kinds of other crazy things for forgiveness of sins. You would not believe the kind of things that the devil throws around this world to make people think they have to do that in order to be forgiven. There are some people that believe they have to whip their back until it bleeds in order for them to be forgiven. That happens now, today. I've seen people in Malaysia, where they will put hooks in their backs and carry and pull carts by the skin on their back for kilometers and kilometers and kilometers just so they can be forgiven of the sins of that last year. But Peter shares with them a message that is brand new. He says there in verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. Amen to that. Because of Jesus, if we believe in him, he sticks up for us. He can forgive our sins. Just that easy because of what he did. And in this context, just not that long ago. I was there, Peter says. And not only that, he shares the whole thing. He says, hey, they hung him on a tree. They killed him. But he didn't stay there. He rose 3 days later. You might have heard the story. He rose 3 days later. I ate with him. People all over the place saw Jesus. So this idea that you're forgiven just by knowing him is not false. There is power in the name of Jesus. Peter says that. He says, Christ's ministry was full of power. Verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That must have made their heads turn. Nazareth? Did you say Nazareth? He's from Nazareth? Man, this is an incredible story. Because nothing good comes out of Nazareth, right? Jesus of Nazareth? But the Holy Spirit anointed him with power, who went about doing and healing all those, doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses of all things which he did. He's sharing this with this group. He says, I've seen what God has done in different people's lives. And friends, that's one of the best ways you can share the love of Jesus, is to tell people what Jesus has done in your life. There's no reason to sit there, first of all, and start off debating them on different topics where you may be right. Start off by telling them what Jesus has done in your life, how he's made a difference in your life, how you are free in Jesus and forgiven. Start there. And then as they have more questions of why you have that hope that you have, you can break open the Word of God and share to them, this is why I believe. This is why I'm not scared. This is why I have hope. This is why I wake up in the morning and serve my risen Lord and Savior. Peter is preaching to unbelievers. That's our job, isn't it? He's teaching some pretty life-changing things. Isn't that what's in this Bible? Aren't the things that are in between the covers of this book life-changing for many, many people? If you've ever attended an evangelistic series and you've heard the preacher share some of the truths from the Bible and people stand up and say, I've never heard that before. How come I've never heard that before? That changes everything for me. There are people all over the place that have not heard the message between the covers of this book. Forgiveness of sins. What happens when we share like Peter? When our church comes together in one accord, in harmony together. What happens when a church does that? I believe with all my heart that the same exact thing that happened in Acts chapter 2 happens to a church that follows that lead. and that the Holy Spirit comes upon that group of people in ways they may have never seen before, presenting opportunities they may have never even dreamed of before. Verse 44 to 48, let's take a look and see what happens with Peter, this one who was in that group that was of one accord. He shares this message to an unlikely audience, an audience that has pretty much been forbidden to be a part of their group, for him to even really associate with. And this is all new territory for Peter. In verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking, he's not even done talking yet. He's still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard that word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answered, this must have been just an awesome situation for Peter. As he's preaching, he sees the Holy Spirit come upon these people that are listening to his message. That means they accept that message with all of their hearts. And they're asking for the Holy Spirit to come and be on them. And it says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay for a few days. Wouldn't that be the best possible situation, that the Holy Spirit comes on this church, gives us opportunities to share with Gentiles, whatever that means today, and have the Holy Spirit come right on those Gentiles as soon as they hear it and they turn around and prophesy in his name and tell everybody about Jesus. I was just meeting with some of the folks from Maranatha the other day. We're going to be joining up with them in the Dominican Republic this March. And I was telling them that I had been on the first Maranatha trip to the Dominican Republic in 1992. And I was talking about this church that I had helped build and hauling bricks and everything when I was 12 years old. And she said, you know, those first churches that we built down there, those have spawned off 20 to 25 different churches just from that church. That's the Holy Spirit working. When the Holy Spirit falls on a group of people that are together, that aren't bickering and fighting, that are united in their mission for Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes down and does some incredible things. Now, really quick, we've been talking about the last couple months or so. We've been looking at some of the different things that we believe as Seventh-day Adventist Christians. And one of my jobs here at this church is to help equip you to share. Now, a lot of the things that we believe, it may have been a long time since you've studied them or looked at them. It may have been 15 or 20 years, maybe 50 years since you became a Seventh-day Adventist. It might have been last year. But one of the things the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give a what? An answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And do this with gentleness and respect. Probably had to say that because some people weren't doing it that way. They weren't doing it very gently or very respectful. And that's important to know as we train to share the gospel with other people. Each one of us, and we talked a little bit about this, I think, last week, we need to know what we believe and why. If we're going to share with people, we got to know what we believe. And sometimes that takes brushing up on a couple topics. So what I have prepared a little bit today, which will help me as we look for some future topics here as we close out this year, is I've asked our deacons to hand out a little sheet of paper, and I'm going to ask my mom to play the piano while you do this. You have an in-church assignment. I've printed out a list of the main 28 fundamental things that we believe as Seventh-day Adventists. And what I want you to do is I want you to grab the pencil in front of you in the pew right there. If you have a pen in your purse or in your pocket, pull that out. Take a look at these 28 things. If you look at one of these 28 things and say, huh, I was never really sure about that topic, circle it. Put a check mark right next to it. If it's something you wish you could study up and learn a little bit more on, go ahead and just make that, just circle it. Don't put your name on it. You don't have to put any name on it or anything. This will just help me know some of the things that would be valuable for us as a church family to go over again and to learn about a little bit more so we can share them a little bit more. So take a few minutes, do that, and we'll come back in just a minute. Please keep these, and as we finish here, just please hand them to our deacons in the back. This will be very, very helpful to me, and I think it'll be great to study some of these things, because Scripture is very clear. We always need to be ready to share the reason that we have a hope in Jesus. There's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons we have. And a lot of these things take study, and sometimes study again. And so this will give us an opportunity to go through and to look at some of these topics that will help us shine a little bit brighter in our workplace, where we go shopping, and here at the Franktown Seventh-day Adventist Church. Things usually work better when we work together, just like in Acts chapter 2, and we see the results of how God blessed Peter and his efforts to share the love of Jesus with Cornelius and his family. And I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit will help each one of you, just like he did Peter, to break things down, to break down the message of Jesus Christ and how other people can be blessed by knowing him. There's a county fair contest, and the first place horse had pulled 4,500 pounds. That's a lot of weight. 4,500 pounds. They put the harness on, and they put a little sled back there, and they put all the weight on there. And he pulled and struggled, moved forward, all the muscles in this thing. If you've ever seen a horse that's really, you've seen the muscles flex, maybe when they run, it's a really beautiful thing. And this horse pulled off 4,500 pounds. The second place horse had been set up, and it had pulled 4,000 pounds, a combined 8,500 pounds. But the two owners of these two horses decided to see what these two horses could pull together. So they put the horses next to each other, harnessed them up, pulling the same load. And together, these horses pulled at the same time against those harnesses with all the weight back there. You know how much weight these two horses could pull together? By themselves, a combined 8,500 pounds. When they were put together, these horses could pull 12,000 pounds. Because they were working together. They had the same goal in mind. They were encouraging each other along. And together, they pulled way more weight than they could ever have done by themselves. In Northern California, we have very large trees. One of these kinds of trees is called a redwood. These redwood trees have very shallow root systems. You would think for being so huge, 220-something feet tall they get, they're huge. You would think they'd have these massive root systems. They don't. They're very shallow and small root systems. But you know what redwood tree roots do? They wrap themselves around and entangle their roots with the other roots of the other redwood trees. So that when the wind comes and the storms comes and they're blowing around, they have a root system that's interconnected. They're all in it together. It's almost like they're all holding hands through these storms, as they help make it and helped each other make it through some of these storms that come through the mountains. I believe right now that our church is in one accord, is in harmony with each other, in the focus and the direction of where this church wants to go. To me, leading out in some of these meetings, it's been very evident to see the attitudes of people here in this church who are so passionate, even when there's tough decisions to make, about the direction of this church. Peter was amazed at what happened and how people's lives were changed as he shared the news of Jesus. You too will be amazed when you step out in faith and ask the Holy Spirit to use you to make a difference in someone else's life, just like Peter did, to share that message of hope. Friends, if you watch the news, there's not a lot to be hopeful for. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. If you go downtown, you look at the way things are going and the struggles that people have. We could probably go through this room and I could ask how many people know somebody who has cancer, how many know somebody who just lost their home, how many know people who are going bankrupt, how many know people that are just having a huge trauma in their life. Friends, people need Jesus. And they're not going to hear about him unless you tell them. So as a church, let's pray that the Holy Spirit comes down on this congregation and makes this church a church that shines for Jesus. Did you know you have an opportunity to do that today? Terry Anderson is leading a group that's going out, going door to door. That's one of the most fun things you could do. And if you're not doing anything right after potluck, plan on meeting up with Terry. They're going to go hand out some literature. I'm telling you, going door to door is one of the most fun things you could do because you never know what's going to happen. You never know who you're going to get. I've had people chase me off their porch. I've had people welcome me into their home and have me pray for them. I've showed up on a doorstep where somebody was dying of cancer and just needed somebody to talk to and pray with them. I've showed up on doorsteps where people have no food. I think I've shared this with you before, with kids. They have no food. They get off their knees praying, and we've got kids bringing boxes of food in a direct answer to prayer. You never know what God does when you go knocking door to door. If you want to be a shining light today, go hang out with Terry this afternoon. Go pray with some people and be that shining light for Jesus. You have the opportunity today. Today doesn't work for you. Figure something else out. Ask Terry. I'm sure he'll plan on doing it again. But I believe God wants this church to be a beacon of light and hope in this little community and maybe even the one over the hill. God has a plan. God has a message. He needs each one of us to share that message. We're going to sing a song here as we close when we all get to heaven. And I invite you to stand as we sing this song. As I think about all the different people that live within a 30-mile radius of here, 45-mile radius of here, I think of people that don't know about the hope in Jesus. I think of people that don't have that hope of going to a place like heaven, where there's no more sin. There's no more abuse. There's no more sorrow. There's no more death. How many more people do we need to reach in this area so that we can look at them and sing this song as well? Hey, when we all get to heaven, when everybody in this community, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. What a great focus for a church to have. It's even in our name, Advent. And I'm proud to be a part of this church. Father in heaven, Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to come on this church just like it did with the disciples in Acts chapter 2. Lord, give us opportunities like you gave Peter. Lord, thank you for the opportunity today to go and be a shining light for you. And so, Father, as we go throughout our week, give us opportunities like Peter's to share hope with the people in our circles. Thank you so much for that hope, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be sure and give those green sheets to our deacons. And everybody have a great Sabbath.